I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, Beto O'Rourke has been busy lately. The former El Paso congressman has been crisscrossing Texas holding rallies in some of the reddest parts of the state. And he's finding big crowds. People are asking questions about what's happening in Texas to America and what's the future of the Democratic Party. O'Rourke ran for Senate against Republican Ted Cruz in 2018 and lost by less than 3 points. He then ran for Texas governor in 2022 but lost to the incumbent Governor Greg Abbott. At his rallies, O'Rourke has been calling for unity and collective action to counteract what he sees as authoritarian tendencies of President Donald Trump. O'Rourke joins us to take your questions. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the last presidential election, Texas provided Donald Trump almost 6.4 million votes. That's more than any other candidate in presidential election history. That's over 500,000 more votes than he received in 2020 in Texas. Kamala Harris received a little more than 4.8 million votes, and that's 400,000 fewer votes than Joe Biden received in 2020. It looks like Texas is trending redder. No Democrat has won a statewide office in about 30 years, and you can judge for yourself how that is working out for Texans. But Beto O'Rourke is crisscrossing Texas, asking voters to demand more and hold their elected officials accountable. He wants them to ask, what are you doing for me? Are your policies helping me? He's also been calling out the Democratic Party, demanding that they stop being lazy and start fighting for the working class and for rural America. O'Rourke is holding a rally this Saturday in Amarillo, and that's a deep red part of Texas. Beto O'Rourke joins us now, and our phone lines are open for your questions, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Beto O'Rourke, welcome to The Source.
Hey, David, thank you for having me on. I'm looking forward to answering your questions and those of your listeners, and appreciate the opportunity to be with you. And one small addition and slight correction.
Sure.
Our event in Amarillo this Saturday at 1 p.m. at the Amarillo Civic Center, it is a town hall and not a rally. And it's very much like your program. Anyone can come regardless of party. And we hope that we get Trump voters and Kamala voters and people who didn't vote at all. No question is screened. Anyone and everyone gets access to the microphone. I think it's the only way we're going to bring this deeply divided country together, by inviting everyone, listening to everyone, and trying to find the common ground to move forward.
All right. Well, that being said, same here. People can call in. They can ask you questions, or they can tell you what's what, why they think you may not have won the elections that you have run in. Try and give you some advice, or try and just talk to you about what they're experiencing in Texas. We'd love to hear from them. 833-877-8255. So, Beto, what are you hearing from the folks when you go out on these town halls?
Everything. And it's the beauty of being with people. It's the genius of this democracy, that this country is only going to work if everyone knows that they have a place in it, whether they are in the minority or in the majority, whether they've been in Texas for five generations, whether they became a citizen 5 days ago. The foundational premise of America is that we're all created equally. And constitutionally, the legal premise of this country is that we'll all be treated equally under the law. And so I went to Wichita Falls, for example, recently, and our town hall there with 450 residents, we never screened for party affiliation or really anything. We didn't want to accentuate the divides that already exist. We're trying to bring people together. It was wonderful, not just for me, but for everyone else in attendance, just to listen to one another. So I'll give you some examples. Gentleman stood up, veteran, who has served this country, did everything we asked him to do, and is struggling to get the help that he needs at the VA, and wonders what it means for him and other veterans now that the president is proposing to cut 83,000 jobs from the VA. And as you know, most of those who work at the VA are themselves veterans. Another woman stood up, and you know, this gives the lie to the idea that, you know, rural Texas or, you know, places outside of Houston and San Antonio and El Paso don't care about the big constitutional democratic ideas in this country. She said, listen, I'm really concerned that we're rounding people up, putting them on planes, deporting them to the largest prison on the planet in El Salvador without any constitutional protections or due process. And she, like all of us, wants to make sure that we keep our families safe, that if there are dangerous criminals in this country, that they face the justice that they deserve. But we won't know whether they are truly dangerous criminals if they don't have their day in court, their chance to defend themselves. And she made the point, listen, if they come for this alleged member of this Venezuelan gang today and deny him due process, what's to prevent them from coming for me or my kids or my neighbors someday down the road? And her comments were very prescient because we learned weeks later that in fact, US citizen children, including those with stage four cancer, were deported from this country without any due process or protection or medications for their cancer. So having the chance to listen to what's on people's mind and having other people listen to their neighbors and family members and complete strangers really binds us together in the common cause that we need right now to overcome, David, what I believe is the single greatest challenge that this country has faced in our lifetimes, and perhaps in the life of the country going all the way back to the Civil War. It's going to have to be the biggest, broadest coalition, a true united front, if we're going to overcome this. I'm optimistic, based on what I'm hearing, that we're going to get there.
It seems like Donald Trump's plan is to revert America back to the days before the New Deal. These were times when rural America really suffered without electricity, without running water. It was harsh, horrible conditions. And the policy cuts that are coming from him seem to be directed at rural America. Are you hearing about that?
Absolutely. You know, I mentioned that I'll be in Amarillo this Saturday. We just learned that because Trump canceled a $500 million supplemental USDA allocation that is supposed to go to food banks across the country, Amarillo, Texas is losing 13 truckloads worth of food from a scheduled shipment. That means people in Amarillo, our fellow working Texans and Americans who are struggling in a state that still pays you $7.25 an hour if you're earning minimum wage, a state that is the least insured in the country, which means you run the risk of bankruptcy should you need to see a doctor and should you be uninsured, which is more likely to happen in Texas than anywhere else. These are the folks in the line, in that food bank in Amarillo, just as they're the folks in the line in San Antonio and Houston and throughout the rest of this state, but they are going to go hungry because of this president. When you exacerbate that problem with these tariffs, which are just going to kill the growers and the farmers and the ranchers and the gin operators and the producers in Amarillo and Potter and Randall counties and the surrounding counties of the High Plains, you know, that incompetence in terms of the president's management of our social service safety net, his incompetence in the management of this economy. And I think you've seen that the president is underwater for the first time in Texas history in terms of his polling about how he's handling the economy, because it's hurting not just Democrats, it's hurting Republicans, it's hurting big blue cities, it's hurting remote rural red counties, it's hurting everybody. And then you've got our governor, who has taken funds out of public schools to transfer them to private schools in the forms of vouchers. Of our 254 counties, more than 150 of them do not have a private school to which you could send your child if you could afford the delta between what the voucher provides and what the private school requires. That is hitting those surrounding counties around Amarillo as well. So these are the people being hit the hardest, and it's not lost on me, nor you or your listeners, that they constitute the constituency that placed this person in power in the first place. And they're only going to take so much before they look for something else. And now is the time for leaders to emerge. They don't have to be politicians. They don't even have to be Democrats. They have to come from the community.
That's okay, we're going to talk more about that. We got to hit this break. Beto O'Rourke will take your calls, 833-877-8255. Source continues after this.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With us on the line is former congressman from El Paso, Democrat Beto O'Rourke. He has been crisscrossing Texas, holding town halls, hearing from Texas voters of all political stripes about what their situation is, what their frustrations are, and what they want moving forward. And he is here to take your calls and to hear from you. You can call in at 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. I do want to continue talking about rural America, rural Texas, because I see this really is a pressure point. So many cuts are going straight towards the rural parts of America. We're hearing about Medicaid cuts, and that is going to be detrimental to the few rural hospitals and healthcare centers that we have left in Texas. Are you hearing about that?
I sure am. Texas has lost more rural hospitals already than any other state. The Texas Hospital Association just did a study and found that 25%, a quarter, of the remaining rural hospitals are at high risk of closure. When you then threaten and then actually follow through on cutting Medicaid, as President Trump promises to do, you know that that is the backbone of rural healthcare in America, and it certainly is in Texas. You lose that rural hospital, very often the largest employer in your small rural community. Not only do you lose that those jobs and that positive economic impact, how are you going to attract or retain young people in that community? You are going to dry up and wither on the vine, as so many small towns have. Now, I've been to all these places. There is extraordinary pride in these communities. There are people who are working their tails off to make sure that those communities succeed, but they're not gonna win that fight against the president, against this governor, both of whom have turned their backs on these rural communities. That's why we've got to show up. And we, I mean, by those who love the people of Texas, regardless of party, and fight for them and apply that public pressure to stop the president from cutting Medicaid, to stop the governor from his disastrous policy on public health, which has decimated rural healthcare. We should, for example, expand Medicaid. We're the state that invented Medicaid in 1965, thanks to President Johnson, yet we're one of the last not to expand it to ensure that more working Texans can afford to see a doctor. So whether it's healthcare, whether it's education, whether it's public health, whether it's economic development, and we mentioned these tariffs, but it's also the USDA's Rural Utilities Service and rural e-connectivity, both of which have been attacked by the Trump administration. It is incredibly harmful to rural America and to rural Texas. And if Democrats do not show up and stand up and fight for these folks, we cannot blame them if they continue to vote for Republicans against their interest or just choose not to vote at all. That's why I continue to show up.
Well, let's go to a voter. I think it fits into that category on our lines right now. Vicki has called in. Vicki, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling because I didn't vote for either of the major candidates in the last election for president. And I don't feel that either one of them represent me at all. I voted for a third party candidate as a protest. And I don't believe either one of them was adequate or capable. And I'd like to know when the political parties are going to put up somebody who is reasonable and can do the job. And I have one other question, if you'll allow it.
Go ahead.
Okay. The other question is, you know, you said you want comments from Republicans. I don't consider myself a Republican anymore based on, you know, the candidates that we put up in the last, I don't know, 20 years. But there is something that bothers me, and that is that we continue to talk about how we're turning these people back to the countries that they came from. And I don't believe that that's right. But I also don't think it was right to bring in so many people when we have our own needs here, and that they were unvetted. and that they pushed out people that needed benefits here and were given priority. And that's my other, and I'd like to hear that those comments on that.
Okay, we're going to take both those issues on, Vicki. Thank you for your call. And listeners, neighbors, if you want to call in, 833-877-8255. So Beto Reese, she wants reasonable candidates, did not vote in the presidential election last go around.
Yeah, I think Vicki's right. And I got to tell you, I think for the Democratic Party, it has been captured and is beholden to consultants, to major donors, to pollsters, to focus groups, to message testing, to everything that is so inauthentic and such a massive turnoff to the American people who desperately want change. And as Vicki pointed out, I just want somebody who's reasonable, who's an honest person, who says they're going to do something and gets it done. They don't buy that when they're not getting the real deal from the candidates who are out there. And, you know, many of them are really good people, right? But they've been captured by this same system and feel like they have to play by these corporate rules. And it's such a huge loss to our democracy. You know, that's why I show up and do these town halls. You know, folks say, what's the Democratic message going to be? Should it be more progressive? Should it be more moderate? You don't know until you show up and listen to people. They will give you the message. Every time I've run for city council, for Congress, and especially those times that I've won, it's been a reflection of what I've learned at people's doors, what matters most to them. And when I reflect that back and I hear that the VA is taking months, sometimes years, to see somebody here in El Paso, I make that the number one issue. We are going to turn around that VA. When I got elected, we did, we delivered. That allowed me to get reelected and allowed me to connect directly with voters. On the other issue that Vicki brought up about immigration, again, I think she's absolutely right. We had unprecedented levels of uncontrolled migration into this country. Look, no state benefits more than Texas by the presence of immigrants. A quarter of those who I live with here in El Paso were born somewhere else. We're one of the safest, one of the strongest, one of the most successful cities because of that. But we've got to know just who is coming into our country. There has to be a safe, legal, orderly process for them to be here. We cannot allow the abuse of the asylum system. And we also have to ask our partners in the Western Hemisphere, whether it's Canada or Chile or Argentina, to shoulder their fair share of the burden. I understand that many people have to leave Venezuela or their countries of origin, but we can't take all of them here. We've got to make sure that the load is spread appropriately and proportionately. And then lastly, Congress and whoever the next president of the United States is has to make rewriting our immigration laws a priority. Look, Democrats and Republicans both talk a good game. Democrats and Republicans have both failed to do anything when they have consolidated, unified power in the White House, the House, and the Senate. And that's my own party as well, which had that in 2021, which had that in 2009. If we don't do this, it will continue to be a political albatross around the neck of any Democrat who runs. We'll continue to see the kind of cruelty and incompetence that is on display from the Trump administration, not to mention anti-constitutional behavior. And we're going to lose out on this great asset of those who do want to come here legally, do want to contribute, and do want to continue to make this country great. So Vicki, you're absolutely right about it. I think both parties have failed us, and we need real leaders who are going to get the job done based on our experiences right here in Texas.
When Vicki was talking about her concerns about immigration and saying that immigrants who are coming here are getting benefits that should be going to American citizens or other people that we have here who in need, that was basically a disinformation line that has been, you know, repeated over and over again in right-wing media claims that there was an apartment complex that was reserved for veterans that they had to get out so that they could house migrants there. That was on Fox News. It was not true. It never happened. The idea that there were some sort of benefits for migrants, no, this is not true. But it does illustrate that, you know, anyone who runs as a Democrat in America is going to have to run against a broken information system. And you had to deal with this when you were running for governor against Greg Abbott. They took your words and they twisted them. They edited something that you said to make it sound like you were saying defund the police, and you never said that. That's exactly the opposite of what you were saying, but they presented that in a campaign ad, and they repeated that in the right-wing media. I mean, how would they be able to run in a world where everything is twisted and darkened?
It's an extraordinary challenge and one that is absolutely unprecedented. You know, when I was growing up, you know, it was Dan Rather or the other major broadcast anchors on the three channels. Before that, it was Walter Cronkite or it was the El Paso Times or the Herald Post. I am registering young people on college campuses across the state of Texas. No one subscribes to the paper. No one is watching the nightly broadcast news. Everyone is getting their political information culturally through TikTok or Instagram or socially through friends and neighbors and family members. And that environment is ripe for the misinformation that you are citing right now, for absolute lies to be transmitted as truths and for people to actually act on them. And the most perverse and obscene consequence of that, we saw right here in El Paso, Texas. And 2019, a troubled young man in Allen, Texas, in the north part of our state, had heard Donald Trump talk about the rapists and the animals and the criminals who are coming to get us and who are going to replace us, described as an invading army, typically called an invasion. And this young man bought an AK-47, drove 600 miles, walked into a Walmart on the last Saturday before school started in August in 2019, and murdered 23 people in a matter of minutes in a city, I would say because it is a city of immigrants, that doesn't lose 20 people to murder for an entire year. So when this propaganda, when these lies are perpetuated and disseminated and shared without correction or checking or really any access to the truth, you get what we're seeing in America today. So what's the answer you're asking? I mean, part of it, no one's gonna like this answer, but part of it is showing up in person and meeting with people in Amarillo, Texas, and saying, listen, I welcome all comers, no holds barred. If you voted for Trump, you are in the right place. I came here to listen to you. If you didn't vote at all, it's okay. We want to hear your views on this as well. And then having the ability to share real truth, get everyone on the same page on that common ground, and move forward together in common cause. Leverage our access to social media. I've got 2.5 million people who follow me on X or Twitter for whatever that is worth, and making sure that we do everything we can to amplify the truth. And then this last thing, I mean, money is not dispositive, and it is unfortunately a necessary evil in our politics. But when Greg Abbott, all funds, is able to spend $130, $140 million to share what you just described, and I'm spending half of that, even though I raised more than any Democrat in Texas history for governor, when that is compounded by what the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, and every other Republican is raising and spending to perpetuate these lies on a common theme, it just means that Democrats really have to step up. I sometimes think that Democrats care more about being right than they care about being in power, while Republicans only care about power and really nothing else, whether it's the truth, our democracy, the rule of law, or anything. Democrats have to become much more aggressive, much more ruthless, and much more honest about what it takes to win power. And so it's all of that. It's showing up where people are, it's using those social media platforms, and it's raising money to get our message and the truth out to the voters who will decide the outcomes of these elections.
And then you have third-party groups that are also running ads, and they're not confined by the truth either.
That's absolutely right. And in Texas, you know, most of the world doesn't know this, but there are no real campaign contribution laws, and there certainly aren't any limits, which means that the governor can take millions upon millions from billionaires who have a very specific set agenda. I want you to move funds out of public schools, convert them into vouchers, and send them to private schools, and further this agenda of Christian nationalism here in Texas. Neither the billionaires nor the governor makes any bones about it. They're very clear about what's going on, clear as day. But, David, is that information getting out to the people who are very justifiably angry in rural
Right.
Texas.
It was a very unpopular policy that was jammed through despite the clear unpopularity of this idea. It doesn't matter that people don't want it. It's the billionaires wanted it. We got to take a break here, and I'm going to get Richard on the air when we come back from the break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You can call in 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK with Better or Work when we come back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're having a conversation with former El Paso Congressman Beto O'Rourke. He has been holding town halls across Texas. He has more planned. He has one coming up on Saturday in Amarillo, and was also one planned coming up in Dallas. He is going to parts of the state, which you would consider to be red, hardcore Republicans, but he is finding people who want to speak out, want to be heard, and they want to have conversations about what the future of Texas is. And if you got a question, if you want to speak out, if you want to have that conversation, we want to hear from you. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And let's go to Richard. And Richard, thanks for calling in. Richard, you're on the air.
Thank you. Legal, young, hardworking immigrants, male or female, that come into this country and work hard would add to solving the problem of Social Security and also pay other taxes as well. Republicans only care about themselves and power. Thank you for what you do. Appreciate the both of you.
All right, Richard, thank you for that. All right, so mass deportation, Beto O'Rourke. This is also a rural Texas issue, but this is a larger economic issue as well. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, Richard's absolutely right. I remember this is back in the Senate race, and I was visiting a cotton gin in Roscoe, Texas, a city right over from Sweetwater, Texas. And, you know, the gin operators showing me the operation, and, you know, much of this is now mechanized and digital. And he's showing me this screen that you need to be able to operate the gin. And he tells me the folks who work in this gin are all immigrants from Central America, none of whom speak English. And he said, so they memorize the pattern of, you know, digital buttons that come up, even though they can't read the English language, so that they can operate this gin. And he says, man, they are absolutely fantastic, the most dependable, hardest working people I've ever met. And then he tells me this, David, he says, I can offer $15 an hour, $20 an hour, $30 an hour to anyone born and raised in Roscoe, and not a single one of them wants to work these jobs in this gin. I hear the same thing everywhere I travel in Texas, being in Marathon, Texas, talking to a rancher, and he says, find me someone born in Marathon who wants to fix this fence. I can't find them. It's these immigrants. I talked to another guy in Dalhart, and he said, this immigration issue is a positive issue in Dalhart, right at the tip top of the panhandle, right? Very rural, very remote, very, very red. And he said, but there's no Democrat running on the ballot here on Dalhart to make the positive case. We're an agricultural community. We depend on immigrant labor. We can't find anybody native born to do this work right now. And if we can't find a legal, safe, orderly way for people to come here and do this work, our economy, our town, our way of life, it completely dies. So those who labor under the illusion that it's just Democrats who want to get this immigration thing right, it's just Democrats who want to rewrite our laws so that we can actually do this the way that's going to work for the people of Texas, they're absolutely wrong. It's Republicans, it's rural communities. And in fact, David, I might argue that it's more in rural communities than I see anywhere else that folks are really fighting for an immigration policy and a plan that really works for them, because it's life and death, at least economically, for their community. So appreciate Richard's comment. I think he's right on the money.
Well, people have a long, this is not new for rural Texas, rural America, to be voting hard red and embracing candidates that are not creating policies that benefit rural America. It's been long observed that they've been voting against their own best interest. And why would they change now?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'll tell you, here's the answer. It's not the Republicans, and it's not Donald Trump, and it's not that people in rural Texas don't care about these issues, and it's not that they don't want something better. It's that Democrats have stopped showing up. You know, you go from LBJ running that incredible campaign in 1948 by helicopter and visiting, dropping down in every single county. You couldn't be, you know, too rural or too small for Congressman Johnson to show up and fight to earn your vote. To today, where Democrats, I mean, many excluded from this description, but far too many resemble it. You know, they're literally phoning it in. Or they're saying, you know what, all our voters are in Houston or San Antonio, and if we just increase the turnout in those places, well, by God, demographically, we're sure to win at some point. The math just does not work. And also, if you really believe in Texas and you really believe in this democracy, then you really got to believe in everybody, and you got to show up everywhere, and you got to go to Spearman, and you got to go to Dalhart, and you got to go to Amarillo, and you got to show up in the places where people are effectively not represented. Because when Democrats stopped showing up decades ago, really Republicans had no natural competitor in the wild. And so they no longer had to fight to earn your vote. They were no longer held accountable. They no longer had to do these town halls and show up and hear from their constituents, because there's no one opposing them on the ballot in November. These folks have gotten screwed. And so Democrats, and it can't just be me showing up at this town hall, and it can't be the top of the ticket that comes to town every 2 years. It's got to be the party that invests in rural America. And that doesn't mean parachuting in. It means finding the local leaders, the folks already on the school board or city council or running the Boy Scout troop or whatever they're doing in a leadership position in that community, and then making sure they have the resources, the support, and the help to get on that ballot and to run and to argue the other side of this debate, and ultimately to win and hold power and deliver for the people that they serve. That's how you're going to get it back. There's just no amount of money. There's no snapping your fingers. There's no silver bullet. It is hard work. And I'm sorry to say this, but Democrats just have not been showing up and doing that work. And we're going to continue to lose in Texas until we do. And last thing, for the nation's sake, we have to win in Texas. Come 2030 in that census and the election year in 2032, when Texas will likely have 44 electoral college votes, the Democratic nominee for president that year could win every single so-called blue wall state, and they will still lose the White House if they cannot pick up the Sun Belt. And there's no greater prize in the Sun Belt than Texas. And if we wait till 2030 or 2032 to get that done, well, then we've already lost. We have to be doing the work now. That's in part what we're doing with our group, Powered by People, registering voters, talking to voters, showing up and doing these town halls, and doing it everywhere.
I had a caller, she dropped off, Loretta, but her question was, well, how do you do that and still appeal to the Harris voters?
You know, it's this false choice that the consultant class in the Democratic Party wants to give us. Like, you know, I remember this argument in 2017 when I embarked on this quixotic campaign to defeat Ted Cruz. You know, hey, Beto, I see you're going to every one of the 254 counties. That's cute, but it's really dumb. All the voters are in Houston. All the voters are in Dallas. All the voters are in these big urban centers. And our response to that is, we're not buying it. 2 years is plenty of time to visit with everyone in 254 counties. And you cannot be too red or rural for us to write you off. And importantly, you cannot be too big and blue for us to take you for granted, because the Democratic Party has done that as well. They've said, essentially, look, if you're Black, if you're brown, if you're young, you know, we've already got your vote. We can count on you. You've been voting for us for decades. I'm not going to go fight for you. I'm going to go chase down that suburban soccer mom in Collin County. And look, she's important too. We should fight for her as well. But these false choices that, you know, too many Democrats have accepted have really doomed our party to irrelevancy, at least at the statewide level. And until we show up and fight on every front and make every single Texan know that they are important to us, we're going to continue to lose these elections. There really will not be a challenge in November. And Republicans will be able to do things that, as you pointed out, are deeply, deeply unpopular, whether that's banning abortion, including in cases of rape or incest or the life of the mother, these voucher scams, this, you know, not expanding Medicaid, the shutdown of our electricity grid in 2021 that caused the deaths of 700 people. None of that stuff is popular. Nobody wants it. But if you don't have real challengers on the other side of the ledger, then you really are accepting that there's only one choice, the party in power. And those are the Republicans today. So for Democrats to do this, we have got to work harder, we have to be smarter, and we have to show up for everyone everywhere.
Should the Texas Republican leadership, Greg Abbott and Ted Cruz, John Cornyn, should they be pushing back against Trump's tariffs? Because Texas is going to be one of the states hardest hit by those tariffs.
Look at our biggest trading partners. They are Mexico and Canada. The trade between these three places, Texas, Mexico, and Canada, supports hundreds of thousands of jobs. And those are hardworking Texans who depend on our relations with these countries to be able to survive. And to put a person to it, you know, going to the eastern part of the panhandle and meeting a pecan grower who says, my entire crop is sold into China. And when Trump imposes tariffs on China and China imposes reciprocal tariffs on us, what do they go after? They go after pecans, they go after soybeans, they go after the things that we are growing, producing, and selling right here in Texas. In El Paso, we can tell you that we manufacture everything that we export in the U.S. with Mexico and Canada, including the cars at the maquilas in Ciudad Juarez that are stored in the warehouses right here in El Paso that have an entire logistics economic infrastructure set up from El Paso to Laredo to McAllen to Brownsville. Those are hardworking people, all of whom face the possibility of losing their jobs and those communities losing their economies if these tariffs are imposed unchecked. And look, it's
they're right, then that's happening right as prices rise, food banks are shut down, people need help, and it is like all four walls are closing in on hardworking people at the same time. And yet, you know, who is speaking out for them? That's what people want to know. But look, we got to take a break here. I've got Debbie, you're next, Judith, Christopher, Paul. I'm going to give you a chance, so we got to make it quick. So when we come back from the break, we'll have you on the air with Beto O'Rourke. This is The Source with Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Beto O'Rourke is on the line. He is here to take your questions and calls and comments, corrections, whatever you want to tell him. He's ready to hear it. And let's go to Debbie. And Debbie, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm a sixth-generation Texan. I was born and raised in San Antonio, Texas, and I, for the past 20 years, have lived in a very rural area west of San Antonio. And, of course, it's highly Republican, but what I need to know is how can we help people of the Democratic Party who would like to run for even if in our area, like a county commissioner, or you know, get involved where some of the decisions are made for the people in our area. But it seems like it's very difficult to even get any kind of funding. I mean, it seems like if we could just give, I know there are a lot of people out there that would like to get more involved than just, you know, being a member of the Democratic Party of the area, things like that. What would you advise people to do who really want to get in there and try to make a difference?
Yeah. All right, Debbie, thank you for the call. Beto.
Debbie, thanks for the call. You know, I think that the message of the moment is we will fight for you. People need to feel that. They need to know it. The challenge with this message is it's not one that you can tell as much as it's one that you need to show. So if there were someone in your community who wanted to run for office, for example, I would say you need to visibly be out there in the community helping people. You know, we've talked about food banks a couple of times and the fact that they're under extraordinary strain thanks to this president right now, showing up to help, to volunteer, to gather donations when we can, and making sure that people see you working for others, delivering for that community, going to the school board meeting and speaking at call to the public, you know, hustling in these recent municipal elections that we just had, volunteering for these campaigns, being out there and helping our fellow neighbors, because at the end of the day, that's really what government and what politics is all about. Those things that we cannot do for ourselves, that we can only do in concert with others around us. And if we're trying to convey the message that you should be able to trust Democrats, that they'll deliver for you, well, let's not wait for a campaign or for funding or for the Texas Democratic Party or the DNC, for that matter, to get behind us. Let's go out there and do that work. And then the last thing, Debbie, on these local elections especially, and I'm talking commissioner's court and school board and city council, they're small enough where you literally have the opportunity to meet every single voter who's likely to cast a ballot in that election. The information is publicly available from the county registrar. Everyone who voted in the last election is most likely to vote in the next one. You go knock on their door. You introduce yourself. You say, hey, I'm here to fight for you, but I first want to listen to you. You tell me what's on your mind. You go to the next door, pretty soon you've got a campaign and a message that's going to be compelling, and you're going to win that election. And what I've learned from Republicans is that they have patiently and persistently built that power from the ground up, justice of the peace, county commissioner, on up to Congress and the White House over decades. And we cannot just do it in San Antonio proper. We have to do it in the rural community that you live in adjacent to San Antonio. So thank you for asking the question and in advance for getting after it, getting out there, and hopefully putting yourself and your name on the line to serve your community and by extension, your country.
Judith, let's go to Judith on the air. Hey, Judith, you're on the air.
Thank you. Beto, I recently heard on a broadcast this woman who stated without any equivocation that government was a business. And she went on to say, of course, that she supported the president because he was a businessman and he knew what he was doing. And my thoughts, it stunned me so that I thought, well, maybe that's how they justify turning everything into a private business. But anyway, I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
Thank you, Judith. And Beto.
Judith, thank you. If it's a business, it is the most corrupt business, and I'm talking about the Trump administration specifically, that this country has ever seen. Whether it's these meme coins into which those who want to influence the president can deposit hundreds of thousands, millions, billions of dollars, we'll never know, in order to purchase outcomes or privileges for themselves. Whether it's this corrupt deal he made with Mayor Eric Adams in New York to drop charges in return, a total quid pro deal for the mayor doing the president's bidding, or just the incompetence that you see in how they run this business. And then furthermore, this national or mutual defense alliance, NATO, that we've had for 80 years, only time that Article 5, which is the mutual defense commitment, has been invoked was when the United States was attacked after 9/11, that you as well turned your back on that. You embraced tyrants over democracies. How could you give up what Lincoln called the last best hope of Earth? You look at Trump's track record over his career as a business person, you see one jilted business partner after another, one corrupt deal after another, one bankruptcy after another. That is the last premise upon which he should try to make us think that he is in any way competent to run this government. But his blizzard of bizarre activity has temporarily stunned far too many of our fellow Americans. I think most of us are now waking up to the fact that he has no idea what he's doing. He's driving this country and our economy into a ditch. And we had better get it back. And we got to get it back now, not in 2026. We got to get it back now through these town halls, these rallies, these protests, the public pressure that can force him and his aiders and abettors to change course before it's too late.
Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes. Hi, Mr. O'Rourke. We love you. I've always backed you. I'm from El Paso, but currently live in San Antonio. I retired from the military here in San Antonio. During the presidential elections, I volunteered at the headquarters here in San Antonio. I've done whatever I can to help. Unfortunately, the outcome wasn't what we wanted. But my question was, what can we do as commoners to help the situation? The thing is, there's so many people backing Trump We know that Paxton, we know that Abbott are his puppets, as are many other people. But what can we do as commoners to help the situation? Sometimes we feel we have our hands tied, and there's nothing we can do. You know, and it's hard.
Yeah.
It's devastating what's happening. And there's a lot of people behind me that would like to know what it is that we can do, Mr. O'Rourke.
Paul, thank you for the call. Abetro.
Paul, thanks for the call and for your public, for your service to this country and for your interest in what's going to be good for America. Okay, I have good news for you. There's this great speech that Lincoln gives in 1858, a very divided moment in our country that will feel familiar to us. And he says something to the effect, I hope I get the words right, but he says, public sentiment is everything. With it, nothing can fail. Without it, nothing can succeed. And he goes on to say it's more powerful than the president, than the Congress, than the courts, than anything. And what is he saying? He's saying, Paul, in answer to your question, that if you will stand up right now at this moment of truth to be counted, at a protest, at a town hall, at a march, at a rally, that is not nothing. It is not virtue signaling. It is not symbolic. It is power. It is what John Lewis and other voting rights marchers used in 1965 to compel President Johnson to use his authority and power to pass the Voting Rights Act, created the first multiracial democracy in American history. When President Trump in his first term was employing family separation, we all rose up and protested, including here in Tornillo, Texas, right near where you were born, Paul, in El Paso. And that public sentiment and the pressure it produced was so powerful that within days, President Trump rescinded the family separation policy. And that's why I'm telling you and every other listener, we do not have to, we should not wait until 2026, certainly not till 2028 to act. We need to act now. So
right.
Going to those hands-off rallies or coming to this town hall in Amarillo this weekend, or just convening with your community and your neighbors, there's extraordinary power. Who knows when we will break through, but history tells us, whether in 65 with Lewis or 2018 with those protests in Tornillo, that we really have the power. They want us to feel powerless and hopeless. The best antidote to that is the action that we choose to take. So let's believe right. in ourselves and one another and take that action.
So, Beto, we're running out of time here. This is the question that I got to ask. I mean, what are your plans? Are you preparing to run for the Democratic nomination for Senate to take on, whether it be Ken Paxton or John Cornyn?
I'm just going to continue to do what I'm doing, which is trying to be useful and helpful wherever I can go in Texas. The reason I'm going to Amarillo, people called me and said, hey, our congressman's not holding town halls. We know that this is a moment of truth. Please show up and bring us together. So whatever I can do to be helpful and useful for Texas and for the country, I'm going to continue to do that. And, you know, right now that's these town halls, it's registering voters with Powered by People. If at some point down the road it's running for office, I'll do that. But I'm only going to do what is best for Texas, what is best for the country. And at the moment, it is doing exactly what you see me doing, just showing up for people everywhere across the state and around the country.
But you're not ruling out running again. Seems like you're out there maybe looking at planting grassroots, working the crowds. Seems like you're up to something.
You know, luckily I've got this extraordinary organization, Powered by People, these relationships that I've built over 8 years of traveling the state. And this is the moment to use that to bring people together.
Uh-huh.
And actually, David, what's wonderful about it is not being a candidate. So, you know, there's no perception or real ulterior motive. It is, what can we do for the country right now?
All right, so non-candidate Beto O'Rourke, so far, thank you so much. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.